It can wait until Kevin gets back there. We're just going to take care of a little house cleaning first. Well, good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
Welcome to Wednesday night here at Church of the Messiah. I'm so glad you could be here. I'm going to tell a little story, and it doesn't necessarily need to be recorded because this is a story of frustration and aggravation. Okay, it's already recording, so they can edit. You can edit it. You can dump it later. Okay. How many of you ever heard Clark Howard on the radio? Clark Howard, okay. He's this guy who talks about money sense, and you know, he helps you save money. He's kind of like the talk radio guru of money and dealing with companies and stuff like that. Well, he has this saying where he calls any corporation service department their no service department. And I got sucked into that vortex today with T-Mobile. Like, and you know, and the names will change to protect. It could be Verizon, it could be AT&T, but, or any cable company. You get kind of, you know, first you get outsourced to some country where you know they don't know what you're saying and you're trying to say it. And so I got 15 minutes into the conversation and we were just making headway. And the line went dead. completely dead. So I called back, and all I had was her name. I didn't have the operator number. So I get a new girl. 5 minutes later, after I listened to the wah, 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 you know, listening to all the music going on. So I finally get back to a new girl. The first girl I was talking to, her name was Anini. And the second girl I was talking to, her name was Nisha. I wrote down the names and I said, well, Nisha, I was just talking to Anene. Anini, yeah. You know, I couldn't keep it straight. I was just talking to Anini, and I would try to say that with a straight face. I was just talking to Anini, and I went through this with her for 15 minutes. And I really don't want to repeat it all for you to go through all the questions she just went through for us to get to the final place. And I go, is there any way you can connect me to Anini? And she goes, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Mr. Scott. I'm sorry, Mr. Scott, but I have no way of knowing who Anini is. I said, okay, Nisha. Well, here's the bottom line. We're going to cut through all the other stuff. I'm still trying to be very nice. I don't get upset with the people on the phone because they're not really the issue. I said, I'm going to cut to the chase. My wife's phone does not work. You've replaced it 3 times, and we're going to get a new one, and it's not going to be the same model. How are we going to do that? She goes, well, but we need to try to restore and do that. I said, no, we've already been through all that. I've been through that with Anini, and now Nisha, we're cutting through all that stuff. And we're going to go straight to problem solving right now. How are we going to fix this? And I got it done in about 10 more minutes, and she didn't get hung. I didn't get hung up. Oh, I did ask her operator number in case we got disconnected. She goes, oh, well, we can't give those out. And I said, okay, great. She goes, I go, well, how about if you take the phone number I'm calling from, and if we get disconnected, you call me right back. Okay, Mr. Scott, I can do that. Well, she took the number. I felt a little bit more secure. But anyway, it's just been one of those weeks. I know for a lot of us, there's been just some real intensity going on. I think a couple of things are happening. If y'all haven't noticed, something's going on in here. Okay, you could feel it tonight in the worship. Presence of God is getting more and more pronounced in our services. Wednesday night, Sunday, and I'm really looking forward to this Friday night, I mean Saturday night, with the Fusion service. I believe we're on to something. I believe that Kevin and Amanda are birthing something for this church that is going to be very impactful for us. I believe it's on the heart of God. I believe lives are going to be touched. And I believe that the enemy is going to try to thwart us. And he's going to try to discourage us, and he is going to try to distract us, okay? And I'm asking you Wednesday nighters to really focus your prayers for the rest of the week for Saturday, and to cover the leaders. Kevin and Amanda and Tim and Amanda, specifically cover them, and pray for those who are coming, that they won't be, get distracted and they come. Amen? Amen. Let's do that. Let's commit to that. I really believe we're on to something here. I'm very excited about it. And Carrie, thank you for that new song. That is beautiful. Well, we're going to do a brief recap, because Father Looker said it's good to do a recap. In review, last week, in case you weren't here, last week we are talking about the Nicene Creed. The Nicene Creed was written in roughly 365 A.D. It was at the Council of Nicaea. Next. The purpose of the Council of Nicaea was because Christianity was just publicly recognized as an acceptable religion by Constantine, and the emperor. And he found out very quickly that Christianity, because they had been underground, hadn't been talking to each other, and there was a lot of diversity in what it meant to be a Christian, and he needed some consistency and continuity, so he called together all the leaders. And the result that we got after a month-long meeting of all the bishops, priests, and deacons that were able to attend is they hammered out the statement of faith that we call the Nicene Creed, that we recite every Sunday. And it's my intent and my purpose in this Bible study is to break it down so we know what we are saying and why we are saying it. So it doesn't just become a prayer of rote or something that we do in our service. It is actually something that will impact your life every day, not just when you say it on Sunday. Let me give you a for instance of what I mean by that. You know, people say prayers of rote are not a good thing. I understand why they say that. But I'm going to give you a case in point where rote can be a very good thing. Have you ever, I do a lot of driving in my job. I go to a lot of the same places. And while I'm driving there, I'm talking on the phone. Because I got this guy call me, that guy call me. John's a salesman. He travels. He talks on his phone while he's driving. There are times when I get somewhere and I honestly don't remember driving to get there. But I got there safe because I knew where I was going. And when I got there, I knew what I was supposed to do. The rote of driving that route back and forth, John, you know this. Back and forth, you can do it. Sometimes you could. I know these streets. Like, I have friends call me. Scott, I'm on this side of town. I don't know where I am. I'm looking for this. Do you know where it is? I generally have a good idea of where it is because I drive all over the city. Okay? That's what rote gets you. Rote is not a bad thing to have in you. Because when all else fails, we revert back to our instincts, and our instincts are what's in us. A prayer that has been drilled into you every Sunday for 20, 30, 40 years is not a bad thing to come out of you in a moment of you don't know what else you need. Right? But what I want to do is I want to instill in you today that it's more than just a cute little form that we say because it's liturgical. It is not. It was not written to be liturgical. We made it liturgical. It was written to define what a Christian faith was. Next slide. Both the Apostles' Creed. Both the Apostles' Creed and the Nicene Creed, and for those who weren't here last week, Apostles' Creed was really the framework for writing the Nicene Creed. But they expanded it so they could define the gray areas that were vexing the church at 365. And I submitted last week, and I still feel the same way this week, they're still vexing us today. And we really need to get this in us so we can corporately stand unified, one holy Catholic and apostolic church. Each creed begins with, I believe, or we believe. One is a personal statement of faith. The other is a corporate statement of faith, saying this is what we believe. What we believe, no, go back, Kevin, I'm sorry. Now go. Okay, no, I'm sorry, go back. Guys, this PowerPoint stuff is brand new to me. I've given myself a crash course on it. So I told you last week that I believe comes from the Greek word, you read it, into the Latin, which means pasta, which also means paste. So when we say I believe or we believe, what we are really saying is this is the paste. This is the glue. This is what holds me together. This is the foundation of who I am. This is what I am stuck to and what is stuck to me. Okay, Kevin. The Apostles' Creed says, I believe in God. The Nicene Creed expanded it with one word. We believe in one God. I believe in God can be said by numerous faiths, Christian or non-Christian. This very word, one, defines that the creed is talking about the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We believe, next slide, we believe in one God. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And then it goes on to say, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. Hear, O Israel, hear, chosen nation of God, the Lord your God is one God. The Nicene Creed writers, I believe, under the inspiration and the anointing of the Holy Spirit, wanted to make this perfectly clear. And I think, as I had told y'all on one Sunday, one of the Sundays that I was speaking, this is something that we share with our Jewish brothers and sisters. This is not a defining, dividing point with them. This is our common ground. We believe in the same God that you believe in. All the other stuff we get come along with it, but right here at its core, right here at my first statement of faith, I believe what you believe. I believe Judaism and Christianity stood alone on an island of monotheism in a sea of polytheism. And that day and time, it was very important. How many gods did the Romans have? We can't count that many. They had one for this, one for that, two to make that one happy, and five to make this one happy. And you had to do this to appease that, but don't ever do that one to do this one, because boy, they'll just fire you down and it'll all be over. And you had to burn incense to this one. You had to give your firstborn to that one. And you had to go run around in the woods naked with this one. I mean, they had so many gods, they couldn't keep up with how many gods they had. So for this day and time, it was also marking Christianity to say, we don't have all, you can have as many gods as you want. We got one. Next statement. One God. Well, before I go there, I'm sorry, I wanted to read one more scripture. Do you remember what Jesus said? In Mark, in one of the Gospels, in Mark, in chapter 12, verse 28, one of the teachers of the law, one of the Jewish teachers of the law, came and heard them debating. Noticing that Jesus had given them a good answer, he asked him, of all the commandments, which is the most important? The most important one, answered Jesus, is this. And he quotes Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. I think it's pretty important. Today, Christianity, we are marked with the very first scripture that we learn is John. For God so loved the world that he gave. I mean, come on, that's basic. Just like Kevin says, if you don't know how great is our God, you're not a Christian. Okay? If you don't know John 3:16, you might be a little bit on shaky ground as much as we drill it into our kids from nursery on up. Well, the same was true with little Jewish boys and girls. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4 is what was drilled into them. It's because it's what set them apart from any other religion that was around them. Okay. We believe in one God. Now we looked at what one meant. Now we're going to talk about God. Oh, come on, Father Scott, what are you doing? We all know who God is, do you? Do you know that God is a supreme being? Meaning he's not a supreme being, excuse me. He is the supreme being. Meaning there is no other. Everything else is under him. He is God. Next. He is the creator or maker. He's not only superior to you and me, he's not only superior to everything around us, everything that we know, everything that we see, everything that we can touch, taste, deal with, hear. He's not only supreme over them, he made them. He made them. The creator is always greater than the creation. Because the creation contains everything that the creator had. Without the creator, the creation could not have anything. But the creator still it can have everything without the creation. But the very essence of the creation, the very essence of that creation is the creator. So everything that we are was created by God. Everything that we see, touch, was created by God. So when we say we believe in one God, we say we believe in the supreme being, the creator, and the ruler. He is our God and King. He is the ruler of everything. He is it. He is over it all. Next slide. Then we say, I believe in God the Father. Trust me, this is going to get somewhere. I believe in God the Father, or we believe in one God the Father. Kevin, next. These are going to go really fast, so. All right. All right, the next word we see is the Father. A God who is loving. He's not just, because he's God, he is ruler and creator. But because he has assigned himself also the title of Father, he is loving. So he created us and rules over us out of love. Not out of personal pride or personal accomplishment. It's out of love. Designating himself as our Father, he also puts on himself the responsibility as our provider. I mean, come on, I'm hitting things that you know. But we need to be reminded every now and then. Because this is who we believe in. We believe in one God, the Father, who is loving to me, his Son. He is my provider. He is my provider. protector. He's loving. He's my provider. He is my perfecter. He is my Father. We're going to stay here for just a second. My Father. I don't know about you guys, but my reference point for an earthly father is not real good. I know some of you have had tremendous fatherly influences. Praise God for that. But there's a group of us that didn't have that. And there is a disconnect for some of us to approach God as a father, because that's not a positive to us. That's a negative based on what we were raised with.